Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Derek Knottman and I am delighted to be here and to have an opportunity to share with you a great passion for me, which is the study of traditional martial arts. Today I'm going to be speaking about the idea of energy and structure within the traditional paradigm of practice. And in a sense, a lot of what we're going to be talking about is the idea of the embodiment of Tai Chi or yin and yang, in learning to use this as a map for practice. So the way I'm gonna sort of move through things is to talk a little bit and share some ideas to sort of illustrate some of the ideas and points that I'm going to be making. So I'd like to frame everything up with a simple little quotation, which I'm going to borrow here from Proust, which is to say that the real voyage of discovery lies not in discovering new landscapes, but in learning to see with new eyes. In traditional practice, this is the mindset. What we're learning to do is to dig deeper at what we've already learned. In other words, we're trying to excavate something to get to the essence of it. And so one of the things to keep in mind is where there's depth, there's mystery. Depth is always obfuscated. We never get to understand the depth right away. And so there's a need to put energy into a practice where we are following a map and building out skills and points, point by point. And this is exactly what the classical methods offer us, is a tested map to create a unique type of embodiment. So what I'd like to start with is simply the idea of standing. Standing properly is something we take for granted. And a lot of the times we are slouching. When we're not standing with an intent to do something, we tend to drop into a slouch or a relaxation, if you will, for lack of a better understanding of the term. So learning how to stand is one of the fundamental practices. In Chinese, we call it Janzhuang, or standing like a pole. Standing meditation is another way of referring to it. This is a basic practice, but it is very deep. In other words, the more time we put into it, the more it begins to reveal itself to us. And so when it comes to standing, the simplest way we want to begin to think about this is simply organizing the body so that we have the shoulders, the inside of the shoulder hollow, over the inside of the hip hollow, which we call the kua in Chinese, and then the hollow here drops into the hollow of the foot, so that we have this alignment that provides a nice vertical structure. When we have a vertical alignment, we can relax the body through the bones. This is a big idea because I'm of the opinion that healing is an undoing. And much of what happens is that we all have too much subconscious tension in the body. This tension distorts the design and creates confusion and a lack of clarity in the neuromuscular communication. So the act of standing as a practice is one way that we begin to pacify the nervous system and promote more organization within the body. So I'm going to organize things around four basic ideas here, which are related to the numbers 1 through 4. And these four numbers each have a meaning or a principle that they represent. So the number 1, which is the beginning point, has to do with unifying the body. And we unify the body by connecting the upper and the lower. Now, the way to do that is by learning to stretch the spine. And the idea here is that I need to create a stretch through my spine by creating a directed opposition. And I'm going to take some time to explain what that means, because part of what we're doing here is learning to create the conditions where our mind, our awareness, is able to permeate our body. This is what practice is. With repetition of practice, we gain clarity. Not only do we transform the tissues in the body, we gain an awareness of how to direct and lead the body. So this process is something to be cultivated over time through practice. Here, let me get a light here. Sorry. Okay. So the idea is first that I need to be able to take my head into opposition, to lift it. We talk about suspending the head as being a very important skill within the tradition. What does this mean? The head is the top of the spine. So if you can imagine that this is my spine, and this is my head, and this is my pelvis. In order to stretch the spine, I need to be able to take the head up and the pelvis down. By definition, to stretch something is to pull it away from something else, right? As soon as I have pull in both directions, I create a real stretch versus only one direction. So my idea here is to begin to use my awareness to neuromuscularly create opposition in the body. So the first thing I have to do is learn to, one, stand. I begin by relaxing my knees forward, so I soften the knees. Two, I need to gently tuck my tail back so that if this is my pelvis, I'm rolling it underneath me, right? I don't want my bottom to be out. I want to bring it underneath to create an alignment. Three, I need to relax and release my shoulders so they settle down. And then four, I need to tuck my chin to raise the crown of my head. This is very important. Now, this is the kind of thing that you can learn day one in class, but it will take you a lifetime to unpack this. And as we practice these things, we begin to go deeper and deeper into what they mean. In other words, our ability to do it grows with time and practice. At first, it takes some time to really get a sense of the coordinates of what we're asking. So, the beginning of this process, I stand, again, shoulders over hips, hips over heels, finding the hollows lined up. The next thing I want to do, soften my knees. So I release my knees forward. But what I don't want is my bottom to stick out. So I release my knees forward, and as I do this, I'm tucking my tail slightly. This creates a pull downward from the lower back. The third thing I do, release my shoulders, relax them down so they settle into the sockets. And then fourth, I tuck the chin in to raise the crown and straighten the back of the neck. What I'm ostensibly doing is taking my head forward and up, and my tail down and in. And this creates a lengthening of the whole spine. This stretching of the spine is what we maintain when we stand. So a lot of times people will learn standing meditation and they hear the instruction to relax. So they'll collapse the body. The problem with this is there's no ability for circulation and flow. When we collapse, we create dead spaces. So the idea of energy and structure is about relationship. It's yin and yang. Yin is energy. It is that which gathers until it bursts forth. Yang is structure. Yang is that which rises up until it exhausts itself and collapses back down. Within the body, this relationship between structure and energy is dynamic. So my ability to use my mind to organize my body by, again, one, release the knees forward, two, tuck the tail slightly, three, drop the shoulders down and relax, four, tuck the chin and raise the crown to create this oppositional stretch through the vertical axis of the body. Once I feel this stretch and I find it, I don't change it. I don't allow it to deviate. This becomes the object of my concentration. And so I'm holding this posture by not letting myself collapse or my attention wander, because the moment I do, I will lose this taking the slack out of the body, if you will. So we need to create a shape or a structure to be able to relax into it. There's no relaxing without a container that we can drop into. And this is the first shape that we learn. It's a very basic four-point posture, but it's profound because within the arts, we're learning to move out of this postural alignment. In other words, Tai Chi, Xing Yi, Bagua, all of these arts and practices are about moving while maintaining postural requirements. And so this is a big skill. It takes time to, first of all, find these organizational relationships and then to strengthen and cement them in. So energy and structure are two parts of the same coin. The better my structure is, the more I can relax my body. The more I can relax my body, the more energy I'm able to receive as well as release, because there's not tension holding me together, which would impede the flow of the energy. So standing meditation is how we, one, unify the body. We do this by learning to take the head and the tail into an opposition that creates a nice, gentle, but firm stretch through the spine. Once we find that stretch and we take the slack out of the body, we then focus on maintaining that stretch the whole time. So the idea becomes to drop into stillness, to create these conditions of pressure in the body by mentally directed opposition, and then to learn to stay with it. So I don't get to think about a cheeseburger and lose my attention. I don't get to look over there and lose my attention. Once I create the conditions, I maintain that. This will run us into all kinds of discomfort, mentally, physically, emotionally. The point is in creating pressure. Pressure leads to change. So if the moment I begin to feel some discomfort, I let myself bail out of it, I'm not going to be concretizing and fortifying these connections that I want. So much of what I'm learning to do is to use my mind to organize my body, and then I use my body to discipline my mind. So the first idea is the number one, which is the principle of unification. And it comes from learning to stretch the spine by taking the two endpoints of the spine, the head and the tail, into opposition. This is a profound concept, and it takes many, many years to really drop into. One of the things that I love about these arts, and I'll be 50 years old in a couple of days, and I've been doing these arts for 30 plus years, is that I can honestly say that I'm more fascinated by it today than I've ever been, because it is a deep process. The more we organize ourselves, the more we relax ourselves, the more we begin to see and understand. And this takes time. To change the physical body takes time. So the hurry that we often can experience will set us back in our training and our process. So this one simple exercise, and I'm going to go through this in a few different ways because this is just that profound, is a gateway into many other things. And so to begin, again, I'm just going to organize myself by standing tall, shoulders over hips, hips over heels, release my knees forward. So I just soften my knees. When I do that, I don't want to do this kind of thing. I just want to release forward, gently tuck, and feel my sit bones drop down into my heels so that there's pressure there. Just like when I push through the stick, there's pressure at the bottom. So there's pressure here. It's like I'm sitting at the edge of a stool. In the Chinese arts, we call this sitting thighs, the ability to move from this posture. and it's something that is earned. It takes some time. So I release my knees toward my toes. I tuck my tail and sit back, dropping my sit bones into my heels. I want to relax my shoulders and let them settle and drop down. I tuck my chin to straighten the back of the neck and raise the crown of the head. So now I have this opposition between the head and the tail. Once I find that stretch, I simply settle into this. And I allow myself to start with a minute, then maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, and work up to 5, maybe even 10 minutes at one time, if you're feeling really, you've been practicing. And the point is to develop a quality of stillness and silence. Stillness and silence are huge indicators of our ability to move well and to be responsive. So by learning to downregulate our own nervous system through this practice of grounding out where we stand in the bones, this has a profound tonic effect on the whole body. So first principle, standing, unifying the body through directed opposition. The second principle, the number two, has to do with separation, recognizing that we live in a world of duality and mirrored opposites. The upper body is the mirrored opposite of the lower body. Arms or hands and feet are very similar, but one serves the sky and one serves the earth, right? So if you look at the body, it's a series of mirrored opposites. In the Chinese arts, we often talk about yin and yang and learning to separate yin from yang. This is a relative distinction that is constant. There's always a yin and a yang. This is the yin, this is the yang. This is more yang because it's higher than this, so this is more yin than that. It's a constant metric, a way of organizing information. When it comes to the body, we have yin tissue and yang tissue. What I mean by that is the following. When I'm standing in my posture, right, the first thing I look for is this unification and stretching of the spine. I feel that and I maintain it. As I get better at being able to maintain that as a constant thing, I can then go to the next thing, which in this instance is learning to recognize opposites. So that I have my yin tissue, which is belly tissue, I call it. So the front of the body, the belly, the inside of the arms, the belly, the soft part of the face, and the back of the legs. These are all yin tissues. Yin is the tendency to gather, to sink and settle down. So I organize my awareness around these yin tissues. You feel everything that's soft. You feel all these parts of the body that are yin and want to gather downward and sink. And then we have the opposite, the yang tissues, which are the top sides of the arms, the back of the body, and the front of the thighs. The energy reverses at the lower body because the body makes a figure eight energetically, right? It comes up the front of the legs, down through the coccyx, up the back, over the front, down the front of the body, down the back of the legs. When you're lying down, you'll see the continuity between the belly tissues and the back tissues because of that figure eight. So what this allows us to do is as I'm standing, in staying in my nice connected spinal stretch, I can begin to, and this there's a variety of postures, and really my point in this is less about teaching exercises and more about conveying this practice-based paradigm. But if we take one of the postures, which is simply holding a ball, if you will, or hugging a tree. Now, when I'm standing here and I've got the internal conditions correct and I've got this nice stretch happening, now what I want to begin to do is observe, notice the yin tissues, feel the softness, feel the belly tissue gathering or cooling, if you will, and beginning to tend toward the earth. And then compare that with feeling the yang tissues, the back of the body, the front of the thighs. They have this almost evaporative, rising kind of a quality. And when we begin to get a sense of these two different feeling qualities, we find the middle, the balance between the two. So we wind up standing in the bones and letting the flesh of the body fall away or conversely rise up, depending on what its nature is. So this idea of learning to drop into a deep listening state of awareness where my attention is on my intention, which is to stand without moving in this created shape or form, and I can listen while I'm doing this. This means that I am both directing my energy mentally by making sure everything is correct and listening as I'm doing it. So I have a bifurcated attention. It allows me to have a conversation where I can still have an intention and listen at the same time, so I can be commensurate with what's happening. So the point isn't to just sort of drift away from the body, it's to be in a heightened state of awareness in the body. So everything that you're doing has this quality of structure and energy to it, because it has been formed, if you will, over time with repetition. Each movement we make adds a layer, or digs a layer of depth, if you will. We are dredging the body. And by learning to create balanced opposition throughout the body, we begin to open up these channels, if you will. And this is the idea of the traditional arts. Circulation heals, whether it's an individual and their health of their body, whether it's an economy, or it's a roadway. What we don't want is for things to not be distributed. That creates tension and chaos. We need things to move around. And the body is a great example of this. So the practices of energy and structure are ways of creating containers that we can relax into. So when we're doing our movement, it's effortless and it's easy, but it doesn't start out that way. We don't flow into flowing. Flowing occurs because of all the structural work we do prior. This is how we integrate the three sections of the body. So this brings us to the number three. Three has to do with relationship and integration. The body consists of three sections: the legs from the pelvis down, the whole torso up to the head, and then the arms. Part of what we're learning to do is to integrate these three sections so the three become one and the one contains the three. So I was a philosophy major, so I love a lot of these ideas that we have to dig at to understand. We're dealing with paradox. The world of stuff is a duality, and we're trying to find that middle space between the poles. Quite literally in Tai Chi and the Neijia Quan, Chinese internal arts, we're learning to reorganize our body by balancing these two poles. This idea, all movement is a wave. It's falling until it's rising, and then it's rising until it's falling. This is that integration of yin and yang. Yin gathers like a seed in the earth until it bursts forward a flower, and yang rises until it loses its energy and it comes back down to the earth, like that flower will do once it's expended itself. So these are just the conditions of being here. And what we're trying to do is to learn to recognize and embody this balance within ourselves so that we can have a better ability to balance that outside of ourselves. As within, so without. Okay, so the number three is a magical number, right? One and two, we're talking about standing postures. We're talking about one, unifying the body. Two, learning to go through the body and recognizing the pairs of opposites. There's more layers to it. This is a cursory run through of all these ideas. The number three is dynamic. It has to do with movement. And it has to do with the fact that the human body only does three things: flexion, which is to close, extension, which is to open, and then rotation. In general, anytime we go into flexion, we also go into internal rotation. Every time we go into extension, we also go into external rotation. So these are macro patterns. And part of what we're trying to do is to clarify these three movements, so there's no obstruction in the expression of close, open, or rotation. So this is the three actions of the body. In addition to that, we have the three planes of motion, which are sagittal, moving front to back, frontal, where you're not going through the imaginary glass in front of you, can also be this way, and rotational. So again, only three things. In the Tao Te Ching and in the Chinese arts, it talks about yin and yang together giving birth to Taiji. So the one and the two come to make the three. and this gives birth to the 10,000 things. 10,000 things is just ubiquity, stuff, phenomena. So three is always the mother of all the changes, all the phenomena that we encounter. So from these three movements, flexion, extension, and rotation, we can do all the movements that we're capable of doing. They're just permutations of these three. So it's a very dynamic concept. So again, three sections of the body, lower body, torso, and arms, all have to be harmonized and brought into a unity. Three movements, flexion, extension, rotation, all have to be clarified and unfettered, if you will. And then the three planes of motion also have to be clarified. If I want to move sagittally, it's no good if I also have to rotate a little bit. Or if I want to move down, if I want to move in the frontal plane without going forward, if every time I try to go down, my head goes forward, that's no good. I need to have clarity in each of these planes. So this is a big aspect of what we want to work with. And I'm going to show you a few very simple exercises to help develop these concepts. So the first one is simply, I start standing tall and I'm going to relax and release my hips, my thighs, my knees, my calves, my ankles, and my feet. So my whole body sinks down like I've let air out of a tire. But again, I don't want to do this, right? I'm trying to drop down into my feet to create some pressure down there. So once I've released down into my feet, now I'm going to imagine my arms are like a bellows, the old fashioned bellows that you fill with air and then push the air out to do a fire. As I rise up, feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, hips, I let my arms open out to the side. When I stop rising up, my arms stop. I don't want to do this. I'm trying to have all this be expressed as one. And now I exhale and I release hips, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, feet. And now I've emptied out and I feel pressure sinking down into the ground. Now I inhale and stack my joints, feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, hips. Now I feel pressure lifting me upward and I'm going to exhale and release hips, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, feet. And I simply repeat this, inhaling, feet, ankles, calves, knees, thighs, hips. So the whole body is growing taller as it goes into extension. Then I exhale and release hips, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, feet. The whole body is gathering in flexion, loading up the feet, feeling pressure toward the earth. This is moving within the frontal plane. I'm not going forward as I do this. I'm simply falling and rising within the own space of my body. And I'm making sure that everything is moving together, inhaling and filling, exhaling and emptying. Inhaling and filling, exhaling and emptying. When you begin to get a sense of the movement and you're feeling everything moving together, you can follow simply the quality of the movement. So your attention is on everything rising and growing together. Find the full point, release, everything settles and sinks back down together. This is a very simple but very powerful exercise. As I'm rising, I'm filling and inhaling. As I'm sinking, I'm emptying and I'm exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. Feel the density of the air around you. Feel the resistance, like you're moving through honey. When one part of the body moves, everything moves. When one part stops, everything stops. It's these very clear kind of ideas that we're looking to embody. Simple, but not easy. All of this takes a lot of neuromuscular recoordination. We have to learn to recognize the movement patterns we have and begin to relinquish them or let go of the tensions and the habits that don't serve us. So again, I'm down in my yin position, closed, everything's pushing down. Now I inhale, rise up. I find my yang position as high as I can be without deviating or breaking structure. And I simply relax back down. So we create a nice, mindful, balance between inhaling, filling, and rising and opening, exhaling, sinking, and closing and emptying. That is an exercise for moving through the frontal plane. Again, you'll notice in every movement in Tai Chi, I'm sinking, I'm rising, I'm rotating. These three patterns are everywhere. They're ubiquitous. It's how we move, and it's the ways in which we're able to move. Okay, so now the next one is about rotation. And rotation is tricky because we tend to do too much of it. And it's often hard to get people to do less. We all want to do so much. So this again is about the nervous system and learning to calm things down and to begin to sense. The three main skills we are working with are the ability to ting or listen to our body while we move so that we can song or release the tension that we encounter so that we can yi or lead and direct the body with the mind. This is a concurrent process. Each piece builds the next piece and it becomes a refined cycle of learning and feedback. Okay, so rotation. What I'm gonna do here is I almost imagine someone's pushing me at my right shoulder. And as they do, I'm simply going to allow my left hand to come up to that right shoulder and then I relax back to neutral. So I start with my body square. As they push my left shoulder, I allow my left hip to go back, my right hip comes forward a little bit, and my right hand goes up to the shoulder. And then I release, and I go to the other side. What I don't want to do is kink or twist. I'm really just trying to feel when the weight shifts into the other foot. So as I bring this shoulder back, I'll notice that I'm loading up here as I release. I bring this shoulder back. I'm gonna feel all the way down into the rotation. And let me correct myself here. In this instance, I'm actually loading into the leg that the hand is coming up, right? So as the right hand comes up, I'm loading into that right hip. I release it back, left hand comes up, I load into that left hip. And I'm just getting a clear sense of this becoming a singular movement so that everything is connected. And I'm not kinking or throwing myself out of balance or over twisting. It's a very gentle, very small movement, but I'm learning to get out of the way of one side and anchor into the other so that each time I'm releasing, I have my base, but I've also let go. I'm not holding on at the point of interaction. So this is just a simple shift. Feel that weight drop down into the heel, then release back. Drop down into the heel and load the leg, and release back. These are really basic practices, but they're at the heart level of so many things. To be able to do this correctly opens up many other practices. So we don't need to seek complexity, we want to seek clarity. So again, I'm just going to shift and return, shift and return. Always paying attention to the pressure in my feet and noticing my tail. I don't let it pop out, right? I don't want to do this kind of thing. I'm keeping my lower back flat, keeping maybe a little drop in the tail to help facilitate that. And simply rotating back and forth. Simple idea, but it has a lot of benefit in time. This is how we can learn to release and load at the same time. The same action of releasing this is also loading it because my whole body is now loaded to unwind. So a lot of these movements are simply ways of creating a rebound or a return force without eliminating or resisting the force that's coming in. But anyway, okay, so just a couple more of these. Feel that rotation. Notice how the head stays turned. This is going to create a stretch at the neck. I release back to neutral, shift over, release back to neutral, shift over. Good. Okay, so that's rotation. Again, there's many ways to explore these three basic actions because they're everywhere. This next one has to do with what I call axial tilting, and this is sagittal movement. It's like going like this through our whole body. So in a sense, what I'm doing is I'm going toward my toes and then toward my heels, and my whole body is shifting forward and backward. Each time I shift forward toward my toes, there's a natural habit of going into extension and some external rotation. Each time I come back toward my heels, I'm naturally going to sit down and round out my lower back a bit, and this will create more weight at the heels and a flexion pattern. So I'm going to bring some hands into this. And that is, as I go forward, my hands come up. As I go back, they come in. So I'm simply dropping into my prayer press here. I release, go toward my toes. Everything opens up. I shift back toward my heels. Everything settles down. Inhaling and exhaling. Shifting forward into the toes. Inhaling, shifting back. Feeling that stretch in the lower back, making sure this isn't happening. We're really trying to round out that lower back and get that to open up for us. And then I'm going to release forward, come back in. Exhale. I'm going to be exhaling as my hands come in and down, inhaling as they go out and away. And I want to control this movement so that it is nice and smooth, nice and balanced, so that it's continuous. The whole time, everything is moving together. I don't want to just finish. You know, I want to try to have this continuity. The idea is that when one thing moves, everything moves. When one thing stops, everything stops. This is moving through the sagittal plane, helping us to work with our flexion and extension. Now you'll notice when I go into extension, I'm not like really cranking it out. I don't want to do that. I just simply want to let go and open into a natural shape. The effort is in the contraction or the compression of the flexion phase. The releasing of the arrow is just releasing. So I don't try to push the arrow in a sense. It's like drawing a bow and releasing the arrow. When I come in, here's the drawing of the bow. When I release, I just release. I don't try to add on to that releasing. Just a few more. Inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the nose. The tongue should be at the roof of the mouth with the teeth lightly closed. Okay, so those are the three basic movements for clarifying the planes, or three movements. One is simply sinking down, rising up, sinking down, rising up. Again, feeling the connection through the whole body, trying not to break anywhere, so that when I sink down, I don't pop out. When I rise up, I don't push forward. I'm just trying to have this nice quality of moving through my own body, through the space of my own body. Sorry, lighting is not the best. Okay. So, and then after that, we had the idea of the rotation. As I bring my left hand up toward my right shoulder, I'm gonna load my left leg, release it, come back, right hand to left shoulder, loading the right leg. And I'm just trying to get a sense of timing, everything rising and falling together. All of these practices take many repetitions to get below the surface of. And so this is where we wanna keep in mind that every time we do a practice, we're building data points about that thing. We get a new viewpoint and picture over time as we accumulate enough data points to create a pattern. So this process of learning is one of constantly revisiting and viewing from a new point or place through all the work that we've done. And then the last one was this idea of going into flexion as I come back toward my heels, extension toward my toes, flexion toward my heels, extension toward my toes. just a nice way of swinging the body into an open and close. Very simple idea. So back to the number in principle idea. We have one, unify the body. Two, separate the surfaces or recognize the duality within. Three, integrate the body. Make the three into one and the one into three. Understand the three actions of the body, flexion, extension, rotation. Understand the three planes of motion, frontal, sagittal, rotational. And then we have, so those are the three aspects of the number three. And then the number four is about form, structure, manifesting shape. And this comes from the first three. Through our practice of the fundamentals and the basics, we begin to learn how to stand and how to move the body as a single unit by unifying the three sections. This then allows us to create shapes and forms because we've taken care of this integration and alignment. This has to do, the four has to do with the four qua, the two shoulder qua and the two quas at the hips. It also has to do with the two hands and the two feet. Every shape we make, this is a fundamental positioning for the correct posture and structure, hands and feet. So this idea of number and principle, each thing builds upon the next and leads you to the next part of the journey. And this is where, to come back to the original quote, learning to look upon things with fresh eyes. This is profound. Having curiosity and enjoying your practice and allowing yourself to explore your practice within the confines of a structure. So, you know, because it's duality, there's always two viewpoints, right? Orthodox and more free-flowing, right? People do whatever they want to do and da-da-da. There's value in both ends. But really what we want is to find the middle. The middle can only be known by having two ends. To find the middle of the body, you need to have the top and the bottom. To find the middle of anything, you need to have both ends. This is just how it is. So this is important. We are trying to develop the center of our body, the core around which we are born. And we do that by getting the energy out to the ends, the hands and the feet, and the head and the tail. It's this recognizing of the ends that provides us the center. And in time, through practice, we forge a dantian, a center of the body, which allows the lower body to be brought into the lower qua and the upper body to be brought into the upper qua, so that everything is happening through the torso. The opening and closing of the torso, the ability to move the torso, is a profound skill. And it often gets lost because we get so used to the appendicular skeleton. These methods are time-proven physical culture practices that lead to a very specific embodiment. I believe that embodiment is embodiment. The question is, where is your attention? We're all so extrinsically focused and seduced by the world that we've lost our ability to bring our attention not only onto our body, but into our body. We need to relearn how to sense and feel with greater clarity. And as this happens, it creates a cascading effect through the whole body. So it's a very worthwhile pursuit, even though it's not quite as immediately sexy as doing cartwheels and many other things, right? There's an investment of time in the front end that leads to a great dividend or payout down the road. But a lot of practice at first is the building of the discipline. If you want to have a practice over the course of a lifetime, you have to make it interesting, but you need to make it bear fruit as well. So your practice and process should constantly be changing your body and leading you deeper and deeper along the path. So, you know, I teach three main arts, Xing Yi Liu He Quan, Tai Chi Quan, and Bagua Zhang. And these three arts are all very related. They have different shapes and they have some different principles. They're all unique, but the commonality is that you're learning to make shapes and shift your body skillfully through different shapes. And so this is always a function of geometry and proportion and structure and energy. And our practice is in learning to reorganize our own body through adhering to geometry and recognizing the order of operations of things. Meaning, if we know that the nervous system directs the muscular system, we need to get control over the nervous system to be able to skillfully use the muscular system. So we want to learn to spend some time in the more yin or softer aspects of things, because without putting that energy in, we can build a lot of stuff, but it's like a really fast car not having a great driver, right? You want to build a really good car, your body, but you also want to learn how to drive it well, your awareness. And so these traditional practices are really about bringing these two aspects of things together so that we have a structure and we have something that we are clear on, so we can explore within the constraints of that and begin to relax into it. Relaxing into structure is what we want. We can't simply relax. We have to create a container to release the body into. Part of what we're learning to do is ultimately to stand in the bones, move through the joints, and lead the body with the mind. So I'm going to use a prop here to try and display this a little bit, and that is this fabulous beach chair. So if you look at this right now, it's closed. Now it's open. And this is a great prop because it organizes around the core just like we do. The body closes and then it opens. So I'm closing and opening. The fabric of the chair simply stretches from the load put upon it, right? It's not trying to hold me up, it's simply using its tensile strength. The weight of my body is being directed into the structure, the poles of the chair, if you will, which are a metaphor for my bones in this case. My flesh is like the fabric of the chair, my bones are like the structure. And then the question becomes movement. The human body has 9 joints. 3 sections of the spine, lumbar, thoracic, and cervical. Then we have the shoulder, the elbow, the wrist, the hip, the knee, the ankle. Moving those 9 joints together from the center is what our goal is. What you can see here in this chair is it also has 3 joints, 1, 2, 3. So every time it moves, the movement is through the joints. The frame and the fabric aren't moving, or they're only moving in accord to the joint movement, right? It gets stretched or it gets slacked more. So this moving through the joints is what we're trying to do. Every time I want to sink my body, I want to sink through my joints. So now I'm like the chair closed. Everything I want to go forward, I come up through my joints. Now I'm like the chair open. But I'm always moving through my joints, not just moving my body around. So some of these nitpicky constraints within these traditions are of supreme importance, because the constraints create the pressure. If every time I move, I just let my leg go wherever I want, I'm not going to direct the pressure where I want it, and I'll never create the conditions for change. So a huge part of the practices of standing or just doing simple repetitive movements are in learning to come into alignment with these constraints. And in time, the pressure changes the tissue. The body becomes very supple and relaxed, but it also is very powerful because it's structured, it's connected. Joints hold 2 things together that are not the same. And so the more our joints get strong and exercised from opening and closing, opening and closing over and over, the more that tissue around them gets supple and strong, so that when I push down through my bones, I can get the force down because the joints can hold the bones in proper alignment, so stuff doesn't wobble all over the place. So we're really trying to create and honor these conditions of structure and energy so that I don't need to add into it. I'm simply allowing things to express by being able to organize and get out of the way of, as well as not add on to, but simply allow for. So This is a big subject, and it's tough to succinctly encapsulate in a short period of time. But what I want to communicate is twofold. One, that practicing things that don't change, the repetition of practice of something over and over, will create change in you. Whereas if I just go do a different activity all the time, I will do that activity the way I do every activity, because that's how I do things. But if I'm forced to encounter how I do things, and I'm trying to apply this new template of how to do things, so I'm repeating these basic actions, I am going to change the quality of my movement and my tissues, because I'm creating a repeating process that has constraints and pressure to it. So the practice through repetition and mindfulness, being aware of what we're doing while we're doing it, as opposed to simply just going all out where we can't really pay attention to the process as it's unfolding, they yield different fruit. And both are necessary, but in the traditional arts, the idea is to build a body that is capable of martial engagement. It's not about this is how you fight. It's about embodiment and physical transformation. And so learning these practices has a profound effect on our physicality and our mental well-being, because we are learning to bring mind and balance into a nice harmony. So I'd love to open up to questions or thoughts at this point. And I hope this has been of interest.
Chit. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
We have a few questions.
Great.
I think the first question is, does Derek teach online?
I do, yes. I have a Island Physical Culture is my website, and I have an online Shimi Lyoha Tren course. I also do private coaching online. And I also do a lot of work with Indian clubs, which is a separate subject, but a related subject, and a really fun way to practice. So I also teach these online.
How can they find you?
islandphysicalculture.com.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. And then the second question is, can you talk about breath during the exercises? This is a bit late, but can you maybe talk about inhale and exhale and creating nice energy in the flow chi?
Sure, yeah. So in a basic way, the easiest way to think about it, there's a lot of ways to use breath mindfully, but is every time the body is opening and expanding, we want to be inhaling to naturally fill that space. Every time we are closing and sinking, we want to be exhaling to rid the body of the exhalation. You can think of it like a sponge. When it comes to breathing, inhaling is not up to us. It's a given. You can't not inhale. Exhaling is our letting go. It's our responsibility. So breathing is like a sponge. You want to squeeze out the exhale and then allow the inhale to come in. Just like when you let go of the sponge, it will naturally retake its shape. So with every movement, I'm squeezing out with the exhale. Again, depending on the intention of the movement. When we're doing simple movements, there's not a lot of squeezing out. It's just simply observing that as I'm exhaling, I'm getting smaller. As I'm inhaling, I'm filling that space with breath and getting a nice balance between the rise and fall of the breath coordinated with the movement.
Okay, then I will end this session. And then I'll give you the last word. Yeah, Derek? So I'll start ending the session, but you'll end the session officially. Okay, so for today, we have a keynote session coming up in an hour, which is The Body Moves, a Life Art Dance by Daria Halperin. You can find that on the portal. The next session on our channel will be by Jan Mundo. And I would like to ask you to check out portal site as well, because we have a few things going. We have, if you have the upgrade package, you'll get a 50% discount until the end of the conference. After that, the prices will go up again. So, you know, it's £150 almost, £1 short to that, £149. Yeah, if you want to have a lifelong ability to see all the 1100 speakers that we have lined up, have a look, and it's a good value for money. Next is that I would like to invite you to the coffee break room. There's also in the menu, you can find a coffee break, and then you can have a chat after the session. That would be interesting. Maybe Derek will join us as well.
Sure.
Yeah. And next to that, we have free resources online. Have a look. There are a few books downloadable. There are links. There are discount coupons. Yeah, a lot of offering there. Have a look, and maybe there's something of your liking. And then, Derek, as a final note, you have the stage. You can have some last words.
Well, thank you all for giving me this opportunity to share this work with you. As I said, it's a deep subject, and it's a great practice. It's a lot of fun. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to contact me. My website is islandphysicalculture.com. I do have online courses and programs. And for anyone that's in the embodiment conference, we have a coupon with the word embodiment that gives you 20% off any of our programs. But everything that I'm teaching is about classical traditions of physical culture with the idea of embodiment, learning to bring the mind back into balance with the body to create a healthy, long-lasting practice. If you're going to be in a body, you're going to be in it for the rest of your life. So you might as well invest some time in learning how to use it well. So thank you all very much.
Thank you all. Thank you, Derek, for giving this session. It's beautiful. As a sensei myself, I love it. Thank you for bringing this knowledge to the table.